I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast, coming out of the traditional Thanksgiving game. And boy, it seems like a long time since we've done a podcast. It has been long for us. Today is Wednesday, so the day before the Lions will play the Cowboys at Ford Field. And I'm John Drennan. I'm here with my longtime friend, Lions fan, Bill Radford. Bill, I know you've been traveling and watched the game from outside where you live. You were not in Nova Scotia, you were in Arizona. And my family hosted close to 20 people on Thanksgiving Day, and the vast majority Lions fans. So we had an amazing gathering. And you know, Bill, since you and I last talked, Frank Ragnow came out of retirement and then went back in retirement because he didn't pass the physical. So I guess a lot of things can happen. And so I want to start my comments about the Packers game on Thanksgiving, Bill, saying that, like each loss this year afterwards, I just felt like, man, we played so poorly. And then as I went back and looked at the stats, watched the replay, we didn't play that poorly. We certainly had our moments, and we didn't overcome errors, but we were right there. And I've just felt that way every game except the opening game against the Packers when we weren't ready at all. So I want to kick off, Bill, real quick with this. After reviewing the game, and for our listeners, check this out. These are the team stats for the game. Obviously, Packers win 31-24, but listen to this. Total yards, Packers 359, Lions 352. Passing yards, 234 and 233, virtually identical. Rushing yards, the Packers won that 125 to 119. Yards per play, almost identical, 6 and 5.9. First downs, Lions had 20, Packers 18. Third down efficiency, Lions 8 of 13, Packers 6 of 12. I mean, you can't get any closer in the stats, but then here pops up this one. Fourth down efficiency, Packers 3 out of 3, Lions 0 for 2. So that was one of the telling stats. Fourth down, here's the other telling stats. Packers had 3 sacks, Lions had 0. That is a problem. But let me go to you for your opening comments.
Well, John, for the third or fourth game, the fourth down efficiency is an issue. We were 0 for 5 against Philadelphia. I don't think we went for it on fourth down against the Giants, if I'm remembering right. And then we were 0 for 2. So we've gone 0 for 7, I think, the last 7 attempts. Might even be more than that. And it was a head scratcher. We were talking before we went on about the fourth down that J-Mo dropped the pass that could have really set us up, or if he'd had a better throw, he could have scored a touchdown. And if they kicked a field goal, it's a one-score game. And then the next time they had it at midfield, again, they had a running play on third down that got stuffed, and they went right back to it on fourth down and got stuffed again. Fourth and 3 from midfield. And in that case, you either have to throw a pass that gets you 3 yards or 4 yards, or you have to punt. Either of those are better than running right into the middle of the Packers' defensive line, who'd been having a good game against the run. So I remember we were watching the game together, and you texted me, "I don't understand." Yeah, neither did I. Neither did most people watching the game. So I'm really flummoxed as to what's going on with these fourth down calls. And I'm starting to wonder if Dan Campbell as a head coach is being hindered by taking over the play calling. Because usually the head coach is sort of delegating things, and he's got the overview, and he can see everything that's going on, and he's got time to think ahead. But when you're calling those plays, you're just one or two plays ahead, And the first game he took over was against the Commanders, and they played great, but it hasn't been great since then. They lost to the Eagles. They barely beat the Giants, who, if anybody saw Monday night, the Giants are a terrible team. And they then lost to the Packers in a game where statistically we were even. I don't want to say we were out coached because I think LaFleur went for it on fourth down in the last play of the game that mattered, and I thought that was foolish. And they made a fingertip catch and basically ended the game like that. But if that play doesn't go right, if they get the throws 6 inches higher, which it could have been, the Lions are in Packer territory with a chance to tie the game. J-Mo catches the ball. That's a first down. If he gets a better throw, he might score. The fumble, the Packers fumbled. Good play to force the fumble down around the goal line, bounced right to them. So just these little plays that are happening that either we aren't making them or we're not overcoming them. And we were talking last year, we either made the play or if they went against us, we overcame them. But this year, none of that's happening. And it sort of reminds me of the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, they were 11 and 0 in one score games. This year, I think they're 1-6 now. So the tide has turned. Hopefully, the Lions can right the ship this Thursday, tomorrow. And they're going to have to. If they lose the game tomorrow, they're in really bad shape because they got LA coming. And if they, LA will be favored in that game in Los Angeles. So we're in danger of being 7-7 if we lose tomorrow.
Bill, you're talking about the tide turning and how poorly we've done on fourth down. It looks like seven in a row. And to me, it all comes down to an offensive line we can't rely on. That's what it is. And, on that play, where you mentioned J-Mo ran it twice, fourth and se or third and second, lost a yard. Then it was fourth and three. Goff actually changed the play at the line of scrimmage. And neither one of us liked that call. And of course, I don't know if I said J-Mo, it was Gibbs.
Gibbs, right.
Gibbs making those runs. And of course, anytime you can put the ball in his hands, it's good. But I don't think right after he lost one, they almost ran the same play. And so I didn't like that play call. And by the way, that was about the 50-yard line. The Packers get the ball the very first plays, 51-yard touchdown to Watson. And so had they punted, you weren't going to get a 51-yard touchdown from Watson. So, but I think where our issues are the offensive line. And what's kind of confusing to me, Bill, the first quarter of that Packers game felt awful. It was like we might not get a first down. And they seemed to adjust because the rest of the game, Goff had pretty good protection. I know he was sacked twice at crucial times, three times total, but I felt like they did some adjustment and don't know what that was. And with Micah Parsons, you got to do adjustments even if you don't have to do adjustments. So hopefully we won't have that issue with the Cowboys. But I want to talk a little bit about the issues. Offensive line, everyone can see that, but they did adjust. Secondly, we had no tight ends, Bill. I mean, we had two guys playing tight end that were new to the team, and they're hardly NFL quality tight ends. So thank God for Tom Kennedy, who's not a tight end, but kind of filled that role and had a really good game. They've had a few days. I saw they signed a couple tight ends that are veterans, so maybe one of those guys will be able to step in. J-Mo, great game. I believe it was seven catches for over 140 yards. Yet, as you referenced, he dropped one he certainly could have caught, even though it was thrown slightly behind him. And that was rough when that happened. And then Tesla, well, all this comes from St. Brown going down hurt. That nobody likes seeing that. Yet that did result in Jamo, Tesla, and Kennedy being used more. Tesla, two good catches, one for a touchdown. And at this point, St. Brown is uncertain for tomorrow's game. And I expect we're going to see more of Jamo, more Tesla, and maybe more Kennedy. But we got some issues to get ready for this game tomorrow.
How many passes in a row did Goff complete after the? I think he started like 0-5 or something like that, and then he completed like 10
I
or 12.
saw 0-3, I believe, in the first quarter, but then he had 14 straight. I don't know if it went beyond that, but I'd seen that come up.
Right, so he was playing well. You mentioned the offensive line, and again, I love Dan Campbell as the coach, but he has not adjusted, I don't think, to the fact that the offensive line is not playing great. Some of these fourth down calls, they were plays that last year was almost guaranteed they were going to get them.
Right.
Because our offensive line with Ragnow and Zeitler, they were just blowing people off the line of scrimmage, and JMO or Montgomery would be able to get the 3 or 4 yards, sometimes more. I mean, I remember fourth and five plays from the goal, goal to go, and running and scoring almost untouched. So it's they haven't adjusted to the fact that the O line is not as strong as it was last year. And I've heard Campbell say several times he has complete confidence in the offensive line, which I suppose he should say, but in reality, he shouldn't have complete confidence, and it should be reflected in the play calling.
And Bill, that was even worse without a tight end. I mean, if you talked about last year, Ragnow and Zeitler and Laporta or Brock Wright, but Laporta's a really strong blocker. They didn't have that. So you're so right. And I think the adjustment is we got to punt the ball more often.
Yeah.
It's I think the Cowboy game will somewhat be field position and as much as possible. Keep the ball out of the Cowboys' hands. And I think if we're looking at fourth and two from the 50, we're probably better off trying to punt it inside the 10 than going for it and giving the Cowboys the ball at the 50. I mean, in the past, I've always said, well, go for it and get it, and you keep the ball in our hands. But for all the reasons we're talking about, that's so risky. 0 for 7 on the last fourth down tries.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, when they went for the first fourth down against the Eagles, he texted me and asked me what I thought of the fourth downs. I said, "You're going for it too much." He said, "Well, I think it shows that he's got guts and that he's confident in his team." I texted him after the fifth one and I said, "How do you like those fourth down calls now?" He said, "I was waiting for you to text me." So.
Well, Bill, on that one, you and I talked about it. The first one of that game, I really liked it. The fifth one, I was screaming at the TV because,
Right.
yeah, for reasons that make sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I don't understand giving quality teams a short field. You punt it. No matter how good your offense are, it's hard to go 90 yards.
Yeah, especially against what's been a good defense. But let's talk about that for a minute. This team's had no sacks in the last two games. So you're giving Hurts and not Hurts.
Winston.
Yeah, Winston. And we almost lose to the Giants. We give Winston and Love hardly any pressure. Defensive backs have played very well, but you can't.
Linebackers played well.
Yeah. The other thing, takeaways, Bill, and I believe there were two Green Bay fumbles, but specifically the one that came, it was about 3 minutes, 20 seconds left. The Green Bay's down in the red zone, short pass, and the guy got smashed. The ball popped out right to a Packer. Now, typically, the defense is going to get that kind of fumble and almost did. And we're down three. So right there, we'd have had the ball at about the Packer or Lion 10, first down, needing a field goal to tie. But the point I'm making, our defense didn't have a turnover, almost had one there. And by the way, well, I'll wait and share this when we get into the Cowboys. But what else do you have regarding the Packer game?
Well, the 3 for 3 on fourth down, two of those fourth downs were just great catches by I think it was Wick. The one in the end zone that a lot of Lions fans were saying should have been incomplete. They said he was bobbling it. I didn't see it that way. I thought it was a catch, but it was a great catch. And then the one that basically ended the game, I thought LaFleur was crazy for going for it on his side of the field. It was fourth and three, I think, and Love threw a pass that that was almost too high, and the guy caught it on his fingertips. And who had the coverage?
Branch, great
Branch was
cover.
covering him. He was all over him. So just these little things like that. The other team's making great plays, and the Lions are either not overcoming them or they're not making them. And that's completely different than last year.
Yeah. And Bill, you mentioned you thought that one play was a TD. I did too. In this game, I felt like at no time did the officials like just take something from either team. I thought that was pretty balanced. And I give kudos to the Packers. Two of their TDs were in that left end zone on short plays where they crossed the receivers and watching the Lions D-backs. That looked impossible to stop that one. The other one was, I believe, Wick coming from the left side where he caught the ball right near the flag and just very well designed and perfectly executed touchdowns, both of them.
Well, and the only thing that stops those is pressure.
Right, you're exactly right. And, Bill, I've said before, I got more of a background in basketball than football. And I've always said the best defense can't stop a great score one on one. And that's how I felt about those two plays. I mean, Lions were in position and played their butts off, but perfectly executed offense. Its defense is at a disadvantage because the offense knows what they're doing. They know when the ball's being snapped. They know what direction they're going in. So great offense is going to beat great defense.
And the only way that doesn't, unless there's some great individual play like there was in the Denver, who were they playing? Denver and
Not Giants. Who were they playing?
Washington.
Yes.
Denver and the Commanders. Mariota took it all the way, took them all the way down the field, scored the touchdown in overtime. Broncos scored first, so they're ahead 27-20. Then the Commanders scored on a fourth down play. Of course, they had to go for it, 26-20 or 26-27. Now they're going to go for two. Of course, they're going to go for two. They've only won three games all year. They're 3-8. And they ran a perfect play.
Yep.
The running back was running wide open. Inside the 5-yard line, there was nobody near him. Mariota gets him the ball. He can walk in for a game winner. But the D-back from the Broncos was blitzing, and just as Mariota went to throw the ball, he jumped up and was able to block it. Aside from a great individual play, you're right. Those offensive plays that are so well designed are not going to be stopped.
Yep. And you make a great point there. I mean, it was pressure that he basically didn't see. He could have thrown over that outstretched hand, but just a
Or
great
stepped aside.
defensive play. Yeah. Well, Bill, how about I share some PFF grades real quick and then we can get into the Cowboys game. Again, PFF stands for Pro Football Focus. Every game, every player is graded on every play. And so here were the Lions grades on offense. Fifth best, Tom Kennedy, 69.4. That's a good score. Then it was Tate Ratledge, Penei Sewell, Jared Goff, and Jameis Winston. That was their best offense.
You mean Seamus?
J
I mean
Williams.
Williams.
Thank you, Bill. I know I said the wrong names a few times. Jameis Williams. What a great game he had. And that drop just too bad. But he had 91.2 score. Anytime you hit 90, you've had a really great game.
What was
Lowest
Goff's score?
81, pretty good.
Yeah.
Lowest grade, Awasika, 54.9 was fifth lowest. And then it's Fursker, the tight end that just joined the team last week. Then Tristan Colon, who's a center that, or Colon rather, the center. He had his hands full with Micah Parsons, Dan Skipper, and then the lowest was Ross Dwelly, the other tight end. So two tight ends we've never heard of are in the, that hurt us. They're in the bottom five, and we were playing without a tight end. That definitely hurt. Defensively, the worst five. So Marcus Davenport, 56.2, fifth worst. We need him performing. Alex Anzalone, 52.1. Then Amik Robertson, Thomas Harper, and Ray Lopez. All five of those guys are guys that typically don't belong in the worst five. Ray Lopez has been doing a great job, but 39.3 at nose tackle. The top five, Tyleek Williams, good to see his name at 69.5, and then Aiden Hutchinson at 69.6. Usually he's up closer to 90. Muhammad, 71.7. His name was never really mentioned, but he must have done some things there. Derek Barnes, 73.8. Brian Branch had a great game, 83.6. But Bill, those aren't great scores with only one at 80 or higher. So just not a great game defensively. And that to me leads us into the Cowboys because I expect to see the defense bounce back. I think they, as a coaching staff, are going to figure out ways to give some problems to this powerhouse offense and sack and pressure Prescott, Dak Prescott. And if they don't, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah. Well, they got to win this one. They can't, they go 7-6, and then they're on the road against the Rams, and they could be 7-7. Conversely, they win this game, they're 8-5, then they have 10 days to get ready for the Rams. So the Rams prove they're beatable. The Panthers beat them last Sunday, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Stafford finally had a bad game. He
Two
had,
interceptions.
in the first quarter, he had gone 28 touchdowns without an interception. Then he threw two in the first quarter. And then at the end of the game, they were in position to tie it with a field goal, but they were trying to get a touchdown. He fumbled the ball and Panthers recovered, and that was the game. So Stafford had a bad game. Maybe he had too much tryptophan or something from all the turkey, but he didn't play like he had been playing. I'm just glad the Lions aren't playing them this week because I'm sure he'll have a bounce back game. But tomorrow, in a lot of ways, could be the season as far as the playoffs go. I mean, there's an outside chance that 10-7 would get in. If they run the table, they're going to win the division, I think. They'd be 12-5. The Packers and the Bears play each other twice. The Bears have San Francisco besides that. I think the Packers have a couple of tough games. That tie could end up either hurting or helping the Packers, depending on how it shakes out. But we can't tie the Packers, or else, they have the tiebreaker, obviously. So.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are one of the teams we're competing with for a playoff spot, as are the 49ers. Yeah, it's a huge game. So Lions have this going for them. It's at Ford Field. Cowboys don't do great on the road. They do really well at home. The Lions have not lost two in a row for 3 years, and it's kind of a must-win for them. And I think teams with grit like the Lions tend to win must games. What the Cowboys have going for them is they're a scoring machine, and they've got a lot of momentum right now. But Bill, some real quick for our listeners, some real quick stats. I looked this up before we did the Zoom total. This is Cowboys versus Lions defensively, total yards. I'm sorry, offensively, Cowboys first in the NFL in total offense. Lions are third. In passing, Cowboys are first. Lions are seventh. In rushing, Cowboys are 13th at 4.6 per rush. Lions are fourth at 5.0. So all that pretty even. Defensively, Cowboys are 28th. In the NFL, Lions are 14th. Passing, Cowboys are 29th. Lions are 17th. Rushing defense, Cowboys are 20th. Lions are 11th. And turnover ratio, Cowboys 25th best. Lions 7th best. I feel like on the defensive side, at least statistically, Lions are ahead there. But stats are only good on paper.
Well, and
Stats don't play the game, Bill.
a lot of those stats were, I think, before they got Pickens. They had CeeDee Lamb, then they got Pickens, and he's made a big difference.
Yep. And Lions stats, most of them included having a tight end and
And Amon St.
Brown,
Brown.
and right. So, but again, stats don't play the game. And I think it's going to be a competitive one and a good one. And what are your thoughts on the game, and what's your score prediction?
Well, like I was saying, I have a friend that I talk Lions with all the time, almost as much as you, and he's just a complete curmudgeon. And after the Packers game, he said he thought that the Lions would, or it was after the Giants game, he thought the Lions would lose three. He said the Packers, the Cowboys, and the Rams are not going to beat them. Well, he was right about the Packers. I hope he's wrong about the other two. But then I was listening to, pardon the interruption, I watched that pretty much every day, and Michael Wilbon said the Lions are going to crush the Cowboys on Thursday. That made me feel better because Wilbon's right a lot of the time. He predicted that Houston would beat Indianapolis, and he predicted the Cowboys would beat the Chiefs. And both of those are upsets. So,
Well, the fact he predicted Cowboys over Chiefs and saying Lions will crush Cowboys, there's some insight there.
yeah, that's well, he didn't have a lot of confidence in the Chiefs anymore. So, my score is 31-24 Lions.
Interesting. I was going to go with 31-27 Lions, but then I got thinking about this high-powered offense Cowboys have, and I at this point cannot I cannot pick the Cowboys over the Lions. I thought Lions are going to outscore them. Cowboys are going to score 31, Lions 34. And you
All right.
said 31-24, right?
Right.
And I do think that's a great pick, assuming the Lions defense steps up, and they have to step up to some degree, but I think they've got the ability to hold this. Well, two things. I think they can hold the Cowboys down. I also think the Lions offense can have time of possession and score and do drives against this team. And so time of possession helps keep that ball out of the Cowboys' hands.
One other thing I want to mention is Darius Slay has been released from the Steelers,
I'm glad you bring
and
that up. I saw that this morning and thought, has a phone call been made?
yeah, that there's a lot of Lions chatter that would be worth us going after, being short on the defensive backfield. And you know, it wasn't too long ago, I think it was last year, that he was Super Bowl champ. So it would be worth considering anyway. I would think he would be an upgrade from a practice squad player.
Well, and we didn't mention Terrion Arnold is out with an injury.
No, we didn't.
And it looks like Kirby Joseph may not be coming back, at
At
least,
all, or this game?
well, this game. And sounds like what he's got could be a potential career-threatening kind of thing. It's
That would
different
be too
reports
bad.
of. A knee thing that may need surgery and may just be problematic going forward, but don't quote me on any of that, please, listeners.
Well, John, this is the biggest game of the year is tomorrow so far.
And this team's got the potential to win out going forward, but we've seen they got the potential to lose any given week. So, to me, keys to the game, Bill, offensive line has to adjust. But again, I'm optimistic they did that against the Packers. There's also talk of Miles Frazier playing. And even though he's not played a game yet, people are very high on him. I think the coaches will do adjustments. So one key to the game is that. Second key is the defense. They got to pressure, and if they don't, it's gonna be a long night.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back either in very good spirits from a Lions win, or feeling pretty down if they lose.
Yeah, and being back, it'll probably be early next week. So again, today's Wednesday. Lions play tomorrow, Thursday, and we like that we'll have some extra days to rewatch the game and digest the stats, digest the game. Whatever happens, we'll be back on early next week for our next Secondhand Lions podcast. Our website is theshlpodcast.com. Hope you talk about us with other people, and we appreciate you listening. Bill, let's have a good one tomorrow night.
Go, go Lions.
Bye-bye for now.